In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The story of Pentecost really begins in Genesis chapter 11. Way back at the beginning of the story of God's working with his people, in Genesis chapter 11, we hear these words. Then the people said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have all one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do, and nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down there and confuse their languages so that they may not understand one another's speech." That's how it began. God's people from creation had thought they were really something. They were people of one language, and they were people who were powerful, and they thought the next step for them is to build a mighty city, and in that mighty city build a tower that will reach all the way to God. And God knew that wasn't good. God knew it was not going to be a positive thing. So we read in Genesis chapter 11, as we just heard, that God said, "Let us go down and let us confuse them. Let us confuse their language so they can no longer be one united people who think they can do anything." Why? Because if they could do anything, what do they need with God? So we read in Genesis 11 the story of that confusion at the Tower of Babel. Then, right after that, in Genesis chapter 12, God then picks Abraham. And he says, "Abraham, I am choosing you. Your family is going to be the family out of which will come the salvation of the world." And so from then on, we have the story throughout the rest of the Old Testament, really of Abraham, the father of the Jews, who then becomes the one that God protects, guides, and leads through the family of King David, finally to the birth of Jesus. Well, now we come full circle in Acts. That promised Savior has come. That promised Savior from the line of David named Jesus has come. He has died on the cross for our sins, and he has risen again, and he has done what God had promised he was going to do. He was going to save his people. But not just the Jews. And so God, we read in the book of Matthew, that Jesus comes not just for the descendants of Abraham, but Jesus comes for all people. In the Gospel of Matthew, for example, the first people to visit the Christ child, according to Matthew's Gospel, are not shepherds out in the field, but rather wise men who come from the east. And so we have in Matthew's Gospel, those who come to visit the Christ child are Gentiles. Luke tells us the story of the Jews and the shepherds and how they came to see Jesus, but Matthew's gospel talks about Jesus coming for all people. And so at the very end of Matthew's gospel, we have those words of Jesus to his disciples when he said to them, "Now, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." The commandment to baptize everyone. And so that what we see happening then through the scriptures is that Christ comes to fulfill the promises that God made all the way back in Genesis chapter 2, but Christ comes now for the salvation of all. Christ died on the cross for all, that all might be saved and come to the knowledge of God. And so we come to Pentecost. We come to a time when the languages that have been confused are now hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, as we heard in that second reading, and people were amazed because they were hearing the story of Jesus in their own language. God didn't unite the languages again, but rather God brings Christ in the language of the people. And they were amazed. Everyone heard in their own language. The story of Jesus is a story of how God works when there's a crowd. The major acts, the major steps in the life of Jesus always happen when there's a crowd. Jesus is born in Bethlehem, and what's the problem in Bethlehem? There's a crowd. There's no room in the inn, for the people had all come to pay their taxes. And in the midst of that crowd comes the birth of a baby. And then when we follow the life of Christ and we come to Jerusalem and we come to the death of Jesus, there's a crowd in Jerusalem. Why? People are in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And so people have come from all corners of the earth, of the empire. Why? Because it's time for Passover. And so many of them witness a crucifixion. Many of them hear the story, the rumor that Jesus had risen from the dead. Now we come 50 days later. And again, there's a crowd in Jerusalem, for it is the festival of Passover. It is the festival of Pentecost. And what's the festival of Pentecost? But it is a harvest festival for the Jewish people. 50 days after Passover, they would all bring the first fruits of their harvest, and they would bring it to Jerusalem that they might offer that sacrifice of thanksgiving for God. And so the city again is crowded, and as we heard in that Acts reading, people had come from all corners of the empire. And if we look at a map and see where were those people from, we find out that the Roman Empire, which was huge, and Jews had come from the corners of the empire that they might bring their thank offering. Part of the worship of that thanksgiving offering was that people would come up to the temple and they would recite psalms between Psalm 120 and Psalm 136. And Psalm 136 begins with these words: "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And it ends with the words: "Give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. So again, we see that there's a crowd. And as they are there, all of a sudden is this very, very unique experience. There is the sound of a rushing wind. There are the appearance of tongues of fire on the apostles. And they begin to preach. And they begin to tell the story. And what story do they tell? They tell the story of God's love for them and how God had so loved them that he sent his son into the world, and that you were part of his crucifixion. But God allowed him to be raised from the dead for you. And Jesus is alive for you. And we're told that daily, that there were added that day, Peter preaches this phenomenal sermon where he tells the whole story of the gospel. And we're told that 3,000 were baptized that day into the family of God. And then if we read the rest of Acts chapter 2, it is a story of how God daily added to that number. Power of the Spirit. Amazing. Peter, the one who had, on the night Jesus is crucified, the night before he's crucified, Peter is the one who there in the garden by the fire had denied Jesus three times. And he said, I don't know the man. Because he was afraid. These disciples who after the crucifixion of Jesus are the ones locked behind closed doors for fear of the Jews. These same disciples, the ones who had spent 40 days after Easter with the resurrected Jesus, being reassured that he was alive. And then these disciples, these same disciples, were turned into bold, professing witnesses of Jesus when they are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Jesus had said to them, I'm leaving, and I have to leave you. But the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, will come that you might know and you might profess me to the world, that you might fulfill making disciples of all nations because you are empowered by that Spirit. That same Spirit is the one who is here this day. That same Spirit who came, he doesn't come today with a rushing wind, although we've had some mighty winds this week. He doesn't come with a rushing wind, and I don't see any tongues of fire on any of you today, but he comes with power to us because Christ continues to fulfill that promise through us, through the church. We sometimes call the book of Acts the Acts of the Apostles. Really, it's the act of the Holy Spirit, because what the book of Acts does is then tell the story of what happens to the church, to the people of God, after Christ is gone and after they have gone back to their homes. God is a God who gathers his people together and then scatters them to the corners of the earth. Remember again, in Jerusalem that day, there were people from all the corners of the Roman Empire, and they had come for their thank offering. But what did they go home with? They went home with a most amazing story. And women would have tea with their neighbors when they got home, and they said, you can't believe what happened when we were in Jerusalem. You can't believe what we heard when we were in Jerusalem. And men would sit by the city gates, or they would sit out in the fields from cooling off from their work, and they would say to their friends, you can't believe what we heard in Jerusalem. You can't believe what we saw. And they would begin to tell the story of Jesus that they had heard from Peter and the disciples that day. And by the end of the first century, the Christians in the Roman Empire could write to the Emperor of Rome and boldly confess, we have now infiltrated all the corners of the empire with a message of Jesus. Why? Because they had been scattered from that day home to tell the story. And that's how God works. He gathers us together in worship today. He gathers us when we come around word and in the celebration of the sacrament that we might again hear the story, that we might again be empowered by the Holy Spirit, and in a few minutes, he's going to scatter us to all the corners of Anaheim Hills and this part of Orange County as we go to our homes with the story of Jesus and his love. Just before COVID hit, back in February of 2020, my wife and I had the joy and the privilege of traveling with some others of our Lutherans to Ethiopia. We went to Ethiopia to see how the church was growing and how the church was working through the people of Ethiopia. Now, Ethiopia is an amazing story. If we read in the book of Acts, the story of Christ was first brought to Ethiopia through one of the servants of Queen Eunice, who came and was baptized by Philip and took the story home to Ethiopia. But the story of Ethiopia about Lutherans first happened when Swedish missionaries came from Sweden down to Ethiopia to help tell the story of Jesus. At the same time that many of our Lutheran churches in the United States were sending missionaries to West Africa, the Swedish Lutherans were sending missionaries to Ethiopia. Today, the Ethiopia Lutheran Church, Makani Jesus, is the largest Lutheran church in the world. There are more Lutherans in the country of Ethiopia than all Lutherans combined in the United States. Over 10 million. Why? Because the people in Ethiopia for the last many years have heard the story and been scattered to villages and towns with the story of Jesus, and they are just a fire with the story of Jesus. And their goal is that they will multiply, they will double in size in 10 years. And now what's so amazing is that Ethiopia is sending missionaries to the United States. And we have 7 Ethiopian pastors working just in this part of Southern California and Arizona. Lutheran pastors with the wonderful story of Jesus because they were scattered. God brings his people together, empowers them with his love, tells them the story, and then scatters them to the world. And that story is one of hope in the midst of chaos. That story is one of God's promise in the midst of all the struggles of life. Jesus promised the Spirit to come to his disciples because Jesus couldn't be everywhere at the same time. So the Spirit comes so that God can be everywhere at the same time. And that Spirit is one who brings hope to your life, to mine. That Spirit is the one that we take from here today, that message of hope and promise of God's love. And it's one of God's love that touches other people through us. When we reach out to a neighbor who is struggling and offer to pray for them, it is the Spirit of God working through us. When we reach out in an act of kindness to somebody who's in despair, when we reach out to a coworker who's struggling with an act of love, it is the Spirit working through us. God gathers and then he scatters. We spend an hour together gathered, but we spend the rest of the week scattered at work, at school, at home, wherever God takes us. The Spirit, God's love working through us to touch the lives of others. Be scattered, but don't be a scatterbrain. Be scattered with the promise of love. In the name of Jesus, amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We rise for prayer.